Yati Vijnana Tatvam Guna Sannirodham. Sabhuta Sukshmen Driyasannikarsham. Sabhuta Sukshma Mendriyasannikarsham. Manomayam Devamayam Vikaryam. Manomayam Devamayam Vikaryam. Samsadya Gatya Sahatena Yati. Samsadya Gatya Sahatena Yati. Vijnana Tattvam Gunasannirodham. Vijnana Tattvam Gunasannirodham. Sabhuta Sukshmendriya Sannikarsham. Manomayam Devamayam Vikaryam. Sansadya Gatya Sahatena Yati. Vijnana Tattvam Gunasannirodham. Sabhuta Sukshmendriya Sannikarsham. Manomayam Devamayam Vikaryam. Sansadya Gatya Sahatena Yati. Vijnana Tattvam Gunasannirodham. Manomayam Devamayam Vikaryam. Sansadya Gatya Sahatena Yati. Vijnana Tattvam Gunasannirodham. Ladies, Sabhuta Sukshmendriya Sannikarsham. Manomayam Devamayam Vikaryam. Sansadya Gatya Sahatena Yati. Vijnana Tattvam Gunasannirodham. Saha, he, the devotee. Bhuta, the gross. Sukshma, and the subtle. Indriya, senses. Sannikarsham, the point of neutralization. Manamayam, the mental plane. Devamayam, in the mode of goodness. Vikaryam, egoism. Sansadya, surpassing. Gatya, by the progress. Saha, along with. Tena, them. Yati, goes. Vijnana, perfect knowledge. Tattvam, truth. Guna, the material modes. Sannirodham, completely suspended. translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The devotee, thus surpassing the gross and subtle forms of coverings, enters the plane of egoism, and in that status he merges the material modes of nature, ignorance and passion, in this point of neutralization, and thus reaches egoism in goodness. After this, all egoism is merged in the Mahatattva, and he comes to the point of pure self-realization. The purport is very long, we'll just take a part of the purport. Pure self-realization, as we have several times discussed, is the pure consciousness of admitting oneself to be the eternal servitor of the Lord. Thus, one is reinstated in his original position of transcendental loving service to the Lord, as will be clearly explained in the following verse. This stage of rendering transcendental loving service to the Lord without any hopes of emolument from the Lord or any other way can be attained when the material senses are purified and the original pure state of the senses is revived. It is suggested herein the process of purifying the senses is by the yogic process, yogic way, namely, the gross senses are merged in the mode of ignorance and subtle senses are merged in the mode of passion. The mind belongs to the mode of goodness and therefore it is called Devamaya or godly. Perfect purification of the mind is made possible when one is fixed in the conviction of being the eternal servitor of the Lord. Therefore, simple attainment of goodness is also a material mode. One has to surpass this stage of material goodness and reach the point of purified goodness or Vasudev Sattva. This Vasudev Sattva helps one to enter into the kingdom of God. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Shahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Reading from Canto 2, Chapter 2, Text Number 30, chapter entitled The Lord in the Heart. What caught my attention when reading this purport is this very classic exposition by His Divine Grace about how to purify the mind. Because as we know in yoga, the leader of the senses, the working senses called as karmendriya, the knowledge acquiring senses like the eyes, nose, ears called as gnanendriya, the leader of all these two senses, karma, indriya and gnanendriya, is the mind. And the mind dictates and therefore and the senses work according to the dictation of the mind. So therefore, in any yogic process, over and above controlling the gross part of our existence is to control the mind. And Prabhupada says here, very beautifully, perfect purification, not just purification, but perfect purification of the mind is made possible when one is fixed in the conviction. Each and every word of Prabhupada is so properly chosen, you cannot improve on Prabhupada's vocabulary, even though he wasn't necessarily an English scholar or a professor of literature. Yet, perfect purification of the mind is made possible when one is fixed in the conviction of being the eternal servitor of the Lord. Today also happens to be a very special day for all of us in ISKCON, and of course also for the entire world. Today is the Tithi, as per of the Gaudiya calendar, when His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada landed in America. Historically speaking, in 1965, the dates were 13th August and 17th September. It was a 35-day long, wonderful journey. So today, in honor of Srila Prabhupada's historical voyage across the oceans, we will try to reminisce some of the aspects of this wonderful journey which Srila Prabhupada took for the fulfillment of the prophecy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and all our previous acharyas. Of course, as we know, the journey of Srila Prabhupada's life more or less begins from 1922, when he received the mandate from his Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, at Uttaranga Junction Road, near Calcutta, that he should spread the message in the English language, message of Krishna consciousness, all over the world, especially the Western world. Gauravani Pracharine Paschata Desha Tarine. Right? These are two functions. The area, his Karma Kshetra was defined Paschata Desh, and then the activity was spreading Gauravani on the behest of Saraswati Thakur. So, of course, Prabhupada took that mandate deep within his heart, and it never left him. Practically, that mandate made his life, actually speaking, very restless. Because from that time on, even though he was a family man, he was a businessman, he had so many roles to play, he was a father of six children, right? Yet his heart would not settle down into just taking care of business and family. Day and night, he was practically, you almost say the word haunted with his desire, how to fulfill this impossible task of bringing Krishna consciousness to the West. So, Prabhupada took sannyas, of course, and then, so we won't go into that part of his life, which is known by most ISKCON devotees, but we will focus today on the part which you're talking about, the Jaladuta journey. It probably begins with 1965. When for the first time Prabhupada met Srimati Morarji. It is not known too much, but it is revealed through the pages of history that Prabhupada met her for the first time in Kurukshetra. In Kurukshetra, sorry, this is before Prabhupada's sannyas. This is 1950s. Prabhupada not taking sannyas. His Prabhupada is a grihastha. And Prabhupada was sitting there as a grihastha under the same tree, which, of course, the eternal message of Gita was being spoken by Sri Krishna. Prabhupada was chanting his rounds in rapt attention, and Sumati Maharaji comes to Kurukshetra and sees, and she can immediately identify, it's a very special sadhu. And he's not wearing a sannyas dress, he's in a regular grihastha dress. She introduces herself, they get to know each other, and that's how the relationship between this very special personality, Sumati Maharaji, and Prabhupada began from the 1950s. Talking about Sumati Maharaji, we need to know a little bit more about her than we usually know. She's a very special personality also. Of course, for ISKCON, she is famous because she helped Prabhupada to go through the arrest. And more or less our interest in her ends there. But I think that would not be fair, because she has much more to accredit than that, which we should also acquaint. Because anybody who is close to Prabhupada, we should know more about them. When she was born, her name was Jamuna. That means she was always connected with water bodies. And she married at a very young age Shanti Maharaji, the son of Narottam Maharaji. And at the age of 20 years itself, very young lady, 20 years is just going off the teens, she's already director of India Steamship Company. You can imagine, at 20 years, you are one of the directors of a giant steamship company. It's called Skindia. It was started by Narottam Maharaji. Seeing the keen intellect, her father-in-law saw that she is so brilliant. Therefore, she was put as director. So he changed the name from Jamuna to Sumati. Sumati means somebody has superior intelligence. And practically, the whole task of building up this fledgling little company to what it became later on was singularly done by Sumati Maharaji. So she is considered as the mother of Indian shipping business. Shipping company, she is a mother. She began the whole entire enterprise of shipping in our country. And she is also the first woman to run a navigation company in the entire world. She was then the vice president of the International Navigation Federation. And she's president of steamship owners in India. And imagine her power. She was handling a company, Skindia, which had 6,000 workers. And the company had a fleet of 53 ships. So you can imagine the size of what she is handling. What is her power? And she was always wearing, the greatest thing about her is she was wearing a sari and sindhur, and head was always covered. Something which the modern woman would find it very difficult to appreciate. How can a business magnate of this gigantic lady with huge power cover her head and put sindhur on her forehead? But that was her profile. Why did her profile come about? Because she had great, great devotion to Sri Krishna. She was from the Vallabha Sampradaya. And therefore, from her early childhood, she had affinity and affection for Srinath ji, Gopal ji, who stays at Udaipur. And for all her good work she did for India, she was given in 1971 the Padma Vibhushan Award. This speaks highly about her achievements. And of course, when Prabhupada And she didn't help Prabhupada. She helped Prabhupada in many ways. She was the largest sponsor of the second volume printing of Srila Prabhupada's Srimad Bhagavatam. I think the first one was done by Hanumandas Podar of Gorakhpur. And he gave, at that time, 4,000 rupees, equivalent to 4 lakhs of rupees, or even more today. So she played a major role in the printing of Prabhupada's Srimad Bhagavatam as well. And Prabhupada could see that she has devotion to Krishna, she has got cargo ships, she is a lady with great desire to spread the culture of India. Because when she started this company, she said, I'm not doing this merchandise business for getting money, but I want people from India to go and spread the message across the world and people to come to India to see what India is all about. So she also had a cultural strong flavor to her activities. And Prabhupada, of course, targeted her as the right person who could help. So there are several episodes where Prabhupada is known to have visited her her company almost in a state of being a beggar. Prabhupada, the world acharya that he is, that he was in that time, but that we know he is, and yet he turned into a bhikshuk, begging for a free ticket to go across to America. Some devotees have said that they met later on one Mr. Choksi. Mr. Choksi was Sumati Maharaj's trusted secretary. And he played a major role in helping Prabhupada get all the formalities done. Because in those days, to leave the country to go to America was extremely difficult. But today it is very easy. You can just book a ticket. Of course, not today also it is difficult to get a visa to America. But in those days, it was even far more difficult. So everything was done by Mr. Choksi. So it is told, somebody met Mr. Choksi and said that Prabhupada came to the office several dozens of times to get an audience with Sumati Maharaji. And sometimes he would sit at the doorstep outside her office if she didn't get an audience. And then she would go out in the end of the day at 5 or 6 p.m. and said, oh, Swamiji, you're sitting here? Okay, you come tomorrow. So to bypass, because nobody would give an appointment to him. So in that Prabhupada got an appointment and next day met her and said, I want to go to America. After several meetings, she kept on saying, Swamiji, you are very old. It great affection. And you will definitely die. Either on the journey or after reaching America. So she was very affectionate to Prabhupada and suppose she kept on declining. But Prabhupada would never accept a no for an answer. He had an iron will and a mountainous conviction that he had to do this. So, in April of 1965, Prabhupada was given the residence at Skindia Colony at Andheri near Jihu Temple. The Prabhupada stayed there while all his formalities were being worked out. He had a neighbor called Mr. Nagarajan who was supporting him, encouraging him. And Prabhupada had a very simple house there. And even there, he would give the children some cookies, some sweets to eat, and keep writing the Srimad Bhagavatam purports there. So his journey from there was in April, and then he went a couple of times back and forth to Delhi at Chippiwada Temple, which was his main postal address. And he had kept his keys to his room. Chippiwada now belongs to ISKCON. Luckily, we have this temple now, it belongs to ISKCON, where Prabhupada stayed, rather than it is a part of ISKCON in the fold of Prabhupada's society now. And he had kept the keys to his one printer, I think it was Atmaram printer. And when he opened a mailbox, he saw that Prabhupada has received a NOC from Indian External Affairs Ministry. NOC saying that you are cleared up for going to America. That must have been Prabhupada's greatest joyous day. And he was wondering, who said this NOC? And then he came to know that it was one businessman from Mathura. See, Prabhupada, whomever he met, it was like, Yaradaka Tarekaho Krishna Padesh. Prabhupada literally followed that to the last word. He practically met everybody and for him, the only thing he wanted to talk to them about is about Krishna. And he kept on telling everybody else that he wanted to go to America. People go to America for having a good time, earning a lot of money. Nobody goes to America for preaching. Every Indian, in the big line which we have always in front of the American consulate, everybody, and even more will come in the future, will all go to America only for the land of milk and honey, so-called. Right? So-called. I don't think it's really milk and honey at all. But people think like that. Glamour which is created by social media. So, Prabhupada got this tea form made, and he saw that it was... So we say the Mathura businessman, but we have a name for him. Let's remember that his name is Prasad Agrawal. That is the business name. We say Mathura businessman, not businessman. His name is Prasad Agrawal. And he sent a letter to his son, Gopal Agrawal, who was staying, of course, in Pennsylvania at that time, who was an engineer. And then you need a sponsor, right? Somebody should sponsor you. So he sent a sponsor letter. Gopal Agrawal sent a sponsor letter saying that I will bear for this Tridandi Goswami Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada all expenses during his entire stay in America. And he had placed $1,200 as a reserve fund for him at that time. And then began the tough task of getting the passport, the visa, and what was required at the time, called the P form. Without these things, you can't leave the country. So all this was held by Mr. Choksi. We have Prabhupada's record where Prabhupada is preparing. 1 week before the appointed great day when he would leave India, exactly one week, 13th August was a Friday. The previous Friday, that is 6th of August, Prabhupada makes his journey to Sridham Mayapur. He writes in his diary, going to Mayapur in the morning and return in the evening. Why did he go to Mayapur? There was no temple there. Prabhupada built a temple of Chandradev Mandir now, later on. But there was something very special in Mayapur that time. The Samadhi Mandir of his beloved Gurudev. Right? Sarasvati Thakur. And therefore he went there simply to offer his heartfelt prayers and beg the causeless mercy and the power of his Gurudev. For he was doing this at this age of 69 only to really please his Guru Maharajas and make his words come true. There's no other reason. There was no personal agenda whatsoever. He didn't want name, he didn't want fame, he didn't want money, he didn't want followers, he didn't want anything. Prabhupada was already sannyas and he was already completely satisfied staying in Sri Sri Radha Damodara temple in Vrindavan. He was experiencing Krishna's presence in such a special way, living at Seva Kunj in front of the Samadhi Mandir of Rupa Goswami and the Samadhi of Jiva Goswami. What more does a pure devotee need? Vrindavan Dham, Radha Damodar Mandir, Jiva Goswami, sir, everything which a pure devotee needs for his internal ecstasy of the heart is there. And yet Prabhupada was going to leave all this to go to America. People of course keep asking, oh, he went to America. People don't know that he went to America because the Indians would not listen to his message. It wasn't out of choice. If people in India would have listened to him, he would have probably not gone. But for 44 years, Prabhupada struggled here and couldn't make one follower practically. The same Prabhupada who made thousands of followers in Europe and America made no follower in India because we were so much enamored by Western civilization that we had completely dumped down our own culture as being totally useless, primitive, and traditionally of no productive value. So we had dumped it down to the drains practically, and therefore the sad state of the Indian continent was so bad that dharma had gone to its lowest ebb. And we were simply looking at imitating the West. It was the only thing. And even today, it is not different. Many ways, little bit changed now, but Indians are still crazy after Western goods, Western culture, Western philosophy, Western dress, Western food, etc. Somebody told Prabhupada, you're going to the West, you should learn to eat with fork and knife. How can you go to America without learning how to eat with fork and knife? We have to eat food there. You cannot eat like this. You need to have you eat in Western style. Putnasar was very simple and clear. I am not going to America to take anything from there. I am going to America to give. Right? After coming back, the last few changes are being made. Prabhupada gets in his hand the P form, the visa, the passport. And on 13th of August, when Prabhupada Brigade comes back to Kolkata, it's a place where Prabhupada stayed for years. But when he goes to Kolkata, he has no house to stay. So he calls a person called Mr. Sishir Bhattacharya, who was a very flamboyant young boy, a musician, whom he had met at the governor's place when governor invited Srila Prabhupada for a talk and for Harinam Kirtan, because the governor was a Vaishnav, Mr. Vishwanath, governor of UP. He was a Vaishnav, elderly person. So Srila Prabhupada came as one of the musicians, and during Prasadam they talked and they got to know each other. And then when Prabhupada comes to Kolkata again, he gives him a ring. He said, "Can you help me to go to the dockyard?" So a few days before, he gets arranged for a place for Prabhupada to stay somewhere in the last few days before leaving the country. And even then, he arranges programs for Prabhupada to speak. And then arranges a taxi, goes with Prabhupada in his taxi wherever Prabhupada is going. And then on 13th of August at 9 a.m., Prabhupada boards the Jaladuta. His luggage, one umbrella, one trunk, and one bag of cereals. That's about all. Who goes to America with just so much? That's all he had. Nothing else. Right? And he enters Jaladuta. The name is so beautiful, right? Jaladuta. The messenger who crossed the sea. Right? Skinless ship had many jalas like that. Every ship they had was jala. Jala Gauri, Jala Mangala, Jala Krishna, Jala Matsya. Everything they had was jala. Right? Jala Manjari. There are many things we had all done with jala. But this one was called Jaladuta, made by, constructed in 1959. Just like Hanuman went through the airways, he was Vayuduta. Prabhupada is Jaladuta, the Duta of Supreme Lord Sri Krishna going through the waters across the ocean. For the first time in human history, somebody was attempting something so bold and powerful. Nobody has thought, nobody has seen. Even among his godbrothers, he was revolutionary. Not a single of his godbrothers ever even thought about this. They had only small temples, small mathas, few disciples, and a small program going on, barely sustaining themselves financially. But nobody had the huge global vision which Prabhupada had, which he inherited directly from his Guru Maharaj. So even among Prabhupada's disciples, he was uniquely powerful, because that vision was not shared by most of these Prabhupadas as well. So the boat, the ticket of Prabhupada says, complimentary ticket with food. That is what the ticket says. it was a complimentary ticket. Prabhupada enters, sees his cabin. His cabin is meant for the directors, right? So there is a nice living room, there is a bedroom, and there is a nice bath with nice pictures. Everything. Prabhupada says it's very comfortable. So he says, "I thank Muradji, and then I thank Krishna for giving Mr. Muradji the intelligence to make this so comfortable for me." And at 1:30 in the afternoon, Chalta leaves the shores from King George Dockyard, now called as Kedarpur Dockyard, Kolkata. It's a Friday, and Prabhupada starts sailing. Within the next 2 days itself, Prabhupada starts experiencing discomfort. You see, there is something called as motion sickness. Motion sickness. And motion sickness means There is something in the ears called semicircular canals or vestibular, the vestibule. And when the body goes through a lot of jerking movements, right, the two ears, the fluid in the two ears goes into a state of imbalance. And there is symptoms of motion sickness, which can be very severe. Especially an old man of 69, 70 years old, you know, what is the strength of his body? And the boat has started moving now. It's no longer smooth sail, and Prabhupada has experiencing nausea and vomiting. Throughout the entire journey, for major part of the journey, till almost about 10th or 12th September, just few days before he landed in America, constantly nausea, vomiting, sweating, lack of sleep, and complete loss of appetite. Imagine traveling like that, where you're just constantly vomiting. You cannot eat any food. So that motion sickness was the biggest challenge. And then foggy weather, rain in the oceans, right? Huge waves, loneliness. Everywhere you just see is water. It's not like a nice, beautiful cruise where there is dance and music going on. It's a cargo ship. Nobody is there, right? So we have to put ourselves in Prabhupada's shoes to understand what it means to go through a cargo ship, you know, through the oceans. So it goes through now, comes the Bay of Bengal, out of Kolkata, right? Then it comes down, comes to Ceylon. Sri Lanka. And Prabhupada gets down at Ceylon, and Mr. Pandey helps him go, and then goes to the guest on Ceylon and spends some time there. In a taxi, he goes around seeing the place. And where Prabhupada goes, we should understand, Prabhupada had this very keen sense of observation as an acharya, purified senses. You would catch things very powerfully. So it's a very clean city. People are not very good looking, but they're extremely cultured. Right? Simple life. Ceylon resembles more or less Pune or Madras. so he goes to meet some people there. Were received very, very well. And then Prabhupada actually goes. The next place he lands comes to is on this side on the west again, lower west, that is Cochin. So it is exactly, now it is one week has passed. Right? And that's the day when there is Janamashtami. The previous day was Janamashtami. Janamashtami, as you know, is Prabhupada's appearance, is Krishna's appearance day. And even on the Jaladuta, Prabhupada gives a talk to the sailors and distributes prasadam to them and sells the Srimad Bhagavatam set. Right? Wherever Prabhupada is like Haridas Thakur. Wherever he is, he's chanting Hare Krishna. Right? Wherever Hanuman is there, he's always chanting the names of Ram. Wherever there is Prabhupada, he's always talking about. Prabhupada said, never stop making me talk about Krishna. That was his life. That was his tonic. That was his intravenous fluid, that was his vitamin, that is everything to him. His life was talking about Krishna non-stop. That's what he came to the world for, to just give Krishna Upadesh to everybody in the world. So even on the boat, he gives Krishna Upadesh, and Krishna blesses him in Cochin. His Srimad Bhagavatam is now loaded in Jaladuta. Those 200 sets of three volumes each of Bhagavatam have now entered Jaladuta at Cochin. Right? And how happy was Prabhupada? Prabhupada always felt, I didn't take the Srimad Bhagavatam with me to America. I accompanied the Bhagavatam. So who was going to America? The Srimad Bhagavatam was going to America. And what was he doing? He was simply carrying the Bhagavatam along with him. That was Prabhupada's constant mood. How wonderful. And from there, of course, he enters the Arabian Sea. So see how many waters Prabhupada has to pass through. We have Bengal, down below Indian Ocean, and now it's in the Arabian Sea, and things get so rough. From 24th of August, things become so bad, right? And of course, some of the details which we are talking about are coming from the book called as the Jaladuta Diary, which Srila Prabhupada maintained. That diary was given by Sumati Maharaji to him as a complimentary thing, you know. Right? And Prabhupada started writing all about his journey in that. And before he left, so the entries in the diary are from April onwards. April of 1965. Right? many things happened before. For example, he was staying at Radha Madhav Mandir, right? So he sends to Gaurab Chand Goswamiji, owner of that place, Mahant. He sends them money ordered down for 25 rupees. So 5 rupees for April, May, June, July and August, like that. He gives them, sends the send of the money. So 25 rupees sent, and his Prabhupada was so meticulous. I mean, when I look at it myself, and maybe most of us here also, how meticulous everything written, so much money given, so much money expected, my ticket to Janata Express, this is the ticket name, boarding at this time, reaching Delhi at this time, I have to meet this person today, 5 people to meet, expecting this to happen. Everything was written, diary was meticulously maintained. Prabhupada was absolutely, minus details were there in his diary. So then he writes this, and you see the diary, it's very emotionally, you know, powerful to see that Prabhupada's in the diary, then he writes the three sections, 24th, 25th, 26th, just there are lines. There is no entry there. It is just lines. No entry. No writing. Prabhupada is absolutely in a dysfunctional state. And it is in this state that he gets, as he is entering the Red Sea, he gets the massive heart attacks on two nights. Though he's struggling with his life, where he goes through this very severe chest pain. You see, when you are not eating well, you are dehydrated, you're an old person, you have atherosclerotic vessel disease, right, advanced age, then very high possibility of getting myocardial infarction. And that's what happened to Prabhupada. His heart infarcted, right? It's a heart attack on 2 days. And Prabhupada writes nothing about them. And Prabhupada is thinking, I will probably not survive. Right? So some details were not written by Prabhupada for these days, which he kept sort of secretive in one sense, not in his diary, but he revealed later on to his disciple, Hari Swari Prabhu, much later, of what happened during those days. And that is important for us to know. Prabhupada writes, in the night, I dreamt of Krishna. That Krishna has taken charge of the entire boat, along with all his forms, that means all his avatars are there. And Krishna is personally, and this is Krishna is in a small boat. All avatars are around him, right? And there's a rope between Krishna's boat and Jaladuta. And Krishna is leading Jaladuta across Atlantic to America, right? So this was revealed by Prabhupada confidentially to his disciples later on. And the proof of this dream is that after the Red Sea, passes the Red Sea, and then they pass the Mediterranean Sea, so things become a little better in Mediterranean Sea. And last, as you know, from Mediterranean Sea you have to go to Atlantic, and from Atlantic you go to America, right? And the Atlantic Ocean, which is usually the most tough, it's a huge ocean, right? It's a huge ocean, it takes several days to cross, right? It's usually very tough, there are waves, there is rain, there is fog, you know, ship has to just halt. Even if you cannot move because the visibility is gone, you may land up hitting some iceberg or this and that, something, so you didn't stop for so many days here, in one place. So it was extremely rough to. But Captain Pandya notes, and then there is an engineer on the board also, Mr. Towers, he says that I have never in so many years experienced Atlantic. It became not an ocean, it became like a placid lake. You all know what is a lake, right? How are the waves there? Like, not even waves, they're called ripples. They call ripples, right? They're not called waves. So the Atlantic Ocean became like a way, like a lake. How that can happen? How can an ocean ever become a lake? This is a miracle. So when Krishna says, Maya Dhyakshena Prakritiya, that I have control over the entire Prakriti, this is what Krishna has. He can make the whole ocean, when he wants, into a huge tsunami, and can engulf the whole world, and it can make an ocean become just a simple lake, and they're just flying very smoothly, right? And Prabhupada is just recovering from his motion sickness, right? And after several days he writes, today I had khichdi and kadi. Because for about 15 days, Prabhupada was dehydrated and practically emaciated, lack of food, low calorie, hypoglycemia, I don't know what he was going through. But Prabhupada writes, I'm eating khichdi and kadi, getting some strength. And then Prabhupada writes something beautiful. This is almost 1 week before he reaches America. I said, today I'm feeling better. That is very good to hear and read. Prabhupada said, and today I'm feeling better, right? But I'm experiencing huge separation from Vrindavan. I'm remembering my beloved lords, Sri Sri Radha Damodar, Govindadev, and Gopinath. And I'm taking complete solace and shelter of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Mahaprabhu's leaders are giving me strength. I've taken this huge risk at the age of 70 years, right? But it is solely for the spreading the message of my Guru Maharaj. Prabhupada writes this very nice paragraph expressing his viraha bhav and how he's taking shelter of what he's doing the whole day. He's chanting Hare Krishna, praying constantly, right? And reading the holy scripture of Mahaprabhu's narrations, his pastimes. And on 13 September, Prabhupada writes that beautiful song, Krishna Punya Habe Bhai, right? That your life will be successful only when you please Srimati Radharani. That is written on 13th of September, 3rd of September, sorry. Right? So Prabhupada writes a beautiful song. So we can see through all this, Prabhupada, this Jalga diary is actually for all of us in ISKCON an immemorable part of our appreciation of Srila Prabhupada. It is not enough to know that Prabhupada went to America, it's not enough to know that, but for every good, sincere follower of our society, to know these simple, important historical details of how this person became the supreme instrument in Krishna's hands, right? To bring forth a message which was hidden in the Sanskrit language for thousands upon thousands of years. The Britishers could only break our faith, Muslims could destroy our temples, right? But they could not destroy our ideals. Why? The ideals were hidden in the books. And books were written in Sanskrit. They did not understand. Right? So because these books were having the secret wisdom of the goal of life and how to achieve it, which is there in the Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, that was still there in our country. And that is India, that is and always will remain the most priceless jewel which our country can offer to the entire world. Right? India is the spiritual capital of the world, right? It may not be the commercial capital, may not be the political capital, but it is definitely the spiritual capital of the world, right? It is blessed by Krishna, it's Bharatvarsha. And this person, his divine grace, is the first person in history who will take the secret message of the Srimad Bhagavatam, first time written from Sanskrit into English, and he will not only speak about it, but he will personally train people in how to become pure devotees of Krishna. No hocus pocus, no jumbo mumbo philosophy, no speaking Mayavad, no speaking about yoga, none of this nonsense philosophies which are very sub-religious and primitive as far as Vedic literature is concerned, but giving the highest panchama purushartha, purushartha shiromani, in a very, very personalized, compassionate manner to the whole world. That is Prabhupada, right? So then Prabhupada goes further down and then they cross the Suez Canal and then now Strait of Gibraltar, crossing further down. And then, one thing. When Prabhupada goes to Port Said is the port in Suez Canal. Prabhupada goes to Port Said city, comes out. This is important, small detail. Because Prabhupada goes to the city and goes around and said, this reminds me of Marine Drive Bombay Chowpatty. So, if you ever get a chance to go to that city, Prabhupada liked that city because it reminded him of where we are today, in Bombay Chowpatty. So, Prabhupada goes further down and then he enters, of course, on third, 17th of September. 17th September, when before the Prabhupada writes the second song. And in fact, sorry, when he, on 17th September itself, when he reaches Boston, he writes the second song, which is, the second song is Markandeya Bhagavata Dharma. Right? So that song was written by there, and Prabhupada sees Boston, the skyline. And Prabhupada has reached, the Jalota reaches, Boston at about 5:30 in the morning during Brahma Murta hours, right? And there is a particular type of story which is revealed, which has been mentioned. A very significant story. It seems at this point of time in political history of America, the Americans were at loggerheads, serious loggerheads with the Russians. Right? And the story was revealed by one of Prabhupada's disciples whose uncle was working for the American army. Right? And at this point of time, the Third World War was supposed to start. And missiles from America were stationed to shoot at Russia. And on for the last several days, preparations were going on, and the whole country was geared up. It was a very secretive thing. Not many people knew about it, but missiles would be shot between the two countries. And this uncle was sitting at the desk, and he's supposed to press the buttons to get to shoot the missiles. For some strange reason, on 17th September, he gets in the morning this message that the war is called off. It's called off. What does the war mean to the world? It means mass destruction of property and life. Crores and billions of dollars wasted going down the drain. And untold misery which takes place on the planet. So, 17 September is the day when this was to be taking place, and the moment Prabhupada stepped his holy feet on America, the war was called off. So, the uncle of this devotee said that, I can never forget this day. I was supposed to shoot the missiles. And our superior told us the war is called off. And when he read the history, he said, this is day, same day when Prabhupada entered into America. So the feet of a pure devotee are so special. And let's remember here, the flyer which Prabhupada was carrying of Jaladuta, he had 500 copies made by Mr. Choksi, which he would distribute. Like we have pamphlets, we have different pamphlets. So the pamphlets Prabhupada had printed was Srimad Bhagavatam, the message of peace and goodwill. So here was Srimad Bhagavatam. Here are the pamphlets proclaiming why Prabhupada is going to America. He is going for peace of the world, to create happiness in the world, not to materialism and eating pizzas and pastas and having a great time, having lots of sex and wine, not that, but true peace of the heart by loving and serving Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That was the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. So as soon as Srimad Bhagavatam entered America, the war was called off. This is so wonderful. And then, of course, it stayed there for in Boston for 1.5 days. And next day at 4 p.m., it left Boston. And it reached New York at Brooklyn Pier on 19 September. In the afternoon at 12:30 p.m. Right? Prabhupada disembarked in the evening at around 5:30. And then at Boston, he could have had a chance to speak to Gopal Agrawal. He said, okay, I've arranged a person to come and pick you up. Right, and so there was a travel agent which was booked, and when Prabhupada came out at 5:30, he entered a bus which took him to Butler, Pennsylvania. Imagine now, he's already in the ship and everything else, and now it's a 9-hour bus journey. 9 hours bus journey. Right, and Prabhupada reaches early in the morning next day at around 3 o'clock at a very small place called as Butler, which most Americans don't even know this place, Butler. But it's called, devotees know it very well. at the house of Gopal Agrawal. And the house was very small, a small apartment, not enough place for Swamiji to stay. So six blocks away is a place called as YMCA, where Prabhupada was housed. It was a beautiful place. We had a chance to go there. And just looking at this building and the railings, we did some kirtan there and very happy to see that Prabhupada must have stayed here. The Prabhupada lectured at the Lions Club. We went there also. Lions Club, where Prabhupada gave a lecture on Lions Club. Then he went to Slippery Elm College. So there is a bit of history there in Battle, Pennsylvania. But Prabhupada was saying, this is not the place I want to be. He doesn't just want to go to America. He wants to, they call it either called bullseye, or the headquarters of Maya is not Pennsylvania. The headquarters of Maya is New York. And Prabhupada would not settle down for anything, but the commander shoots with accuracy at the right place. The enemy has got his concentrated camp, right? Look at surgical strike. This was like a spiritual surgical strike. And therefore, on 18th October, it is just less than a month from ending in Pennsylvania, he goes to. He couldn't contact Dr. Mishra, who was the only note he had from here, his, like one of his acquaintances who was staying in New York teaching yoga. But he hoped to meet Prabhupada and to meet him when he reached New York. So on 18th October, carrying some childer to use for bathing on the petrol pumps, because Prabhupada was very conscious of bathing, keeping his schedule going. Prabhupada reaches and goes to New York. So this is the Jalgur diary, but there is another diary which is not known to most devotees in our society, which starts from Jan 66 and ends at the time when the incorporation of ISKCON takes place. Somewhere in, so it's about 7-8 months of entries there. You know, Prabhupada had his diary. It's not, I don't know if it's published or not for the public use. But we know Prabhupada used to write, today 3 people came to match this gift. Today 5 people came and they liked the philosophy. And I gave some apple to them. So Prabhupada was maintaining, today we went to Tompkins Square Park. Prabhupada was keeping all these micro details. Today I distributed 2 sets to this lady, so and so, so and so. All the smallest details were there. There's another diary. Prabhupada had 2 diaries. This first diary was then given away to his dear disciple called Bali Mardan Prabhu and was there with him till 1972. And then when he gave it to, brought it up to this one devotee in 1980, and it went to the Prabhupada's archives in 1996, this great historical literature was brought out, called as the Jaladuta Diary. So today we are very happy that we can recount amongst beloved devotees this very special voyage which Srila Prabhupada took to fulfill the mandate of years and years of craving of Thakur Bhakti Vinod. He gave his life for this. Through Thakur, he lived for this day. And Prabhupada made it happen, made it a reality. And all that we have today, and not will we the movement world will always have for thousands of years, is because this one special journey of one old man, powerful man. Prabhupada was a short man. His height was 160 centimeters, exactly 5 feet and 3 inches. But he had the power. The greatest power on earth is there with a person who is humbly surrendering his heart to Krishna. And Krishna Shakti, Krishna is Shaktiman. All the Shakti of Krishna was with Prabhupada. And what, as they say, like just like Bhagiratha was traveling and Ganga was following. Because Bhagiratha would take Gangaji to the place where the ashes were there of his ancestors. Similarly, wherever Prabhupada went, the Bhakti Ganga followed him. And then something sprang up in America and New York and San Francisco and London and Paris, Australia, Sydney, everywhere, in a small island like even Fiji. Nothing was spared. Wherever Prabhupada touched his feet, sprang up a temple. Sprang up. The devotees were created. He didn't want to go to Fiji. He just had a stopover at Fiji. And Mr. Patel comes and says, okay. Then they made a friendship and said, I'll sponsor a temple. Today we have a temple. His Divine Grace, La Prabhupada Ki Jai. So let us give our lives wholesale if possible to fulfill Prabhupada's desire to bring Krishna consciousness to this misdirected civilization. Sri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan Ki Jai. Gaura Premanandi.